Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting at verse 11 on page 209 of the Church Bible. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A couple of years ago, I was given this lovely journal. And you think, just a normal old kind of journal. It's actually, it's not just any old journal. It was a birthday present. And it's called the Best Self Journal, I have you know. And it says inside the tagline, simple tools that will guide you to become your best self. The advertising blurb, if you read on, it tells me that it comes with a win-the-day pen, so that every mark you make in your journal will empower you for maximum output. So empower yourself with this game-changing tool. Well, if that all sounds rather far-fetched, let me tell you it probably is. It did do me some good, but it didn't exactly change my life. It is only a journal after all. But look, the idea of living this best life or being your best self, it's really starting to take off, isn't it? It's getting traction around the place. Take a look at this little Instagram post from a few days ago. I just came across it. It says this, you have this one life. How do you want to spend it? Be brave. Believe in yourself. Do what feels good. Take risks. You have this one life. So make yourself proud. See, words like this have become something of a mantra, haven't they, in our time and generation? The people, they tell us, look, the only way to live your best life is to live a pretty selfish life. Put yourself right in the middle. Do exactly what you want and don't care too much about anyone else. Well, you might think this is a new thing, but look, people have been wondering about this same question for many thousands of years. And it's a question that's addressed right here in this book of Deuteronomy, because it tells God's people how they should live God's way when they get to the land God is giving them to possess. How are they going to live God's way in God's world? Well, we come to the end of Deuteronomy this morning, and Moses has been speaking for 30 odd chapters, and now it's decision time. And because the way to their best life is not to cave into self-centered living, but to put God first as they choose God's way over their own. Now, this part of the Bible was written by Moses. It's the book of his final speech to the people. The last and final words of the outgoing leader. Let me just pop that off now. And this is important because as Moses finishes the speech, he's kind of setting the direction of travel for what's going to happen next, even after he's gone. He's kind of setting them off on the right path, saying, look, do this and you will do well. This journey that I've been talking about, it started 40 years earlier. Can you imagine a 40-year-long journey? They've been wandering around and around in a desert and getting nowhere very fast. They began this journey with a most amazing, miraculous rescue. God rescued his people out of slavery in Egypt. But despite the rescue, they soon got fed up with God's way of doing things. They caved into that self-centered living. And then God got the blame for how things started going wrong. He got the blame for all their problems. He became the scapegoat in all their arguments. They became a people characterized by disobedience and grumbling against the God who had saved them. It's pretty outrageous when you think about it that they should behave like that. Not exactly the best way to thank God as your rescuer. But as a result, God said, these people are going to spend these next 40 years wandering around the desert going nowhere fast. Yet, as we've seen over these previous weeks in our look through the book of Deuteronomy, God hasn't abandoned his people. Far from it. Despite all that sin and rebellion, he's still being kind to them. He's still being their God. And so here we are, 40 years on, God is saying, look, I've got a fresh start for you guys. Ahead of them is this great land that I want to give you. A new opportunity for you to live your best life as we start again, as we try again to become the people that God really wants you to be. Like any new start, I guess this is probably a time of high emotion. You'll know that if you've ever changed jobs or moved house or moved from one town to another. Leaving the old and familiar, it's always a bit of a wrench, isn't it? Driving away from the last time, from the home that you love with a tear in your eye, it's hard to say goodbye, isn't it? I've certainly known that to be true for me in the different times we've moved on. Even if once you get to the new place, it's really great, you do miss what was behind you. But as we were thinking a little early with the children, by the end of this book, we are left with just two choices, two options, two ways to go forwards from here. On the one hand, you've got the door open to obedience and freedom to live as God's people in the land he's giving you. And yet on the other hand, you've still got the door open to grumbling and hardship and life without God. On the back of our little family news this morning is an outline of where we're heading. And the first big heading is this: live your best life by putting God in the middle. And so what must they do? What's the way to this best life? How is Moses going to explain? Well, here's what they must do. It's set out in verse 15 there in the reading. Look at that with me. Moses says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. There we are. Moses sets before them a choice, a decision that they must make. This is a choice, he says, of epic proportions. It's a matter of life and death. Not physical life and death, although that will be the ultimate end of this, but this is spiritual life and death. That's the choice they face, to go God's way and live, or to go their own way and face that spiritual death. It's obviously a big decision for them. But it's a choice that Moses says isn't too hard. It's not too difficult. As they stand looking at that future, it's a choice, he says, they all must make. And so what will be that best life? What will it look like? Well, he spells it out. Look again, verse 16. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Here's what you got to do. You must love God and walk in his ways. You must keep his commands. That's what this decision will entail. That's what it's about. It's about putting God, this God that you say you're following, put him right in the middle of your life and thinking. Now, for some, that's going to be a radical refocusing on God's priorities. Perhaps priorities that they've once known but have drifted away from. Yeah, we once followed God, but not anymore. Now, come back, says Moses. Focus, refocus on God's priorities. Make God number one in your lives again. Where you've neglected God, learn to love him. Learn to walk in his ways. Now, for others, this is going to be a complete turnaround. Maybe they've not been following God at all up to this point. So for them, it's a decision to plant their feet in God's footsteps for the very first time. To see the world as it truly is. The way to the best life is with God in the middle. To start again with him, to start living God's way. And if they do that, says Moses, if they choose God's way, then they'll really know God's blessing. They'll know life as it's meant to be. They will live and increase with God in the middle. They will see just how good their best life can be. Now, that message, as I was saying, sounds a little bit upside down and topsy-turvy in today's world. The image portrayed by the world is, you know, don't listen to all of that stuff. The way to live is to put yourself in the middle. And Moses says, no, that's not how it works. The image portrayed by the world is maybe that the Christian life is something to be endured rather than enjoyed. That our Heavenly Father is actually more of a grump than generous. That following God is more of a burden than a blessing. But again, here in Deuteronomy, Moses wants to tell us the opposite is true. That going God's way is always the path to peace and right living. It's the way to joy, the way to blessing. God's way is the best way. As Jesus told us, God's way is the way to life in all of its fullness. When you kind of think about it, take a step back for a moment, it does become obvious, doesn't it? As our maker, our creator, God inherently knows what's best for his creatures, the people that he's made. He's the one who drew up the blueprints, who designed this world and everything in it. And so, for sure, he knows the best way for people to live. These decrees, these laws, these instructions for living, they're not designed to enslave us or make us miserable. Far from it. They're set out to say, look, live this way, and it's right and true. It's the way to life. God always has our best interests at heart. And here, Moses tells us, look, here's the way to live your best life. Love God, walk in his ways, follow him every day. Now, Moses hasn't finished yet. He wants to show us the other side of the coin. Heading number two, see the danger when God's not in the middle. You see, if that's how we're to do it, this is how not to do it. Here's what not to do. Verse 17, he says, if your hearts turn away and you are not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Well, I hope you can see the issue. Here is life when God isn't in the middle. Here are hearts that have turned away from God. Me-centered living in all its fullness, where I choose for myself what I'm going to worship. God isn't even in the picture here. You see how this works with me in the middle. I don't have to answer to anyone else. I can live as I want. I can worship as I please. And I guess when you think about it, made-up gods are much easier to go along with than a God who demands something of me. And so at first glance, me-centered living can seem pretty attractive. Indeed, it is the default option if I don't choose anything else. This is the way that nearly everyone chooses to live before deciding, actually, yeah, God's way is the best way. But here's a warning to them. Moses says to them as clearly and as plainly as he can, don't neglect your God. Whatever looks like freedom now will in the end destroy you. If your heart turns away, if you persist in disobedience, you will not live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, in his Ten Commandments, God wanted to make this clear, didn't he? The first of those Ten Commandments, he said, have no other gods before me. See how easy it is to be drawn away. See how easy it is to get distracted, to worship other things instead, to put myself back in the middle rather than the God who made me. It's worth stopping here just for a moment to think, what's in the middle of my life? What's in the middle of your life as well? Is God really where he should be? Does he get the love and the time and the attention he deserves? If God were to sort of open my heart this morning, what would he find inside? Is living for Jesus the priority that it should be and indeed needs to be to live that best life? Have I figured out yet that my best life will be when I get God and put God right in the middle? When I think about it, do I have another priority? Is there something else which is screaming out as more important than this God? Has something else taken that middle ground from me? Do I put my energies and into something other than this God? My family, my job, my social life, chasing after material things, doing up the house, tending to the garden. Life can be about all sorts of many different things. But it won't be the best life unless God is in the middle. And you know, it's never too late to change things. You may have come here this morning thinking, life now is how it's going to be forever. But please don't make the mistake of living without God as freedom and real life. Moses shows us that's simply not the case. It might feel like freedom now, but it won't be like that. The only way to live, the only way is to choose life and allow God to take the place where he belongs. Well, when Moses first told the people these things, they turned around and they simply said, look, we just can't do that. We can't manage to live like that. Maybe it was the failures of their past that had sort of caught up with them. They saw what their parents did, the disobedience of the sin of their parents wandering around in the desert. We can't manage to live like that, Moses. Maybe obedience to God's law sounds just too difficult. And so their collective cry, we just can't do it. I wonder if you've ever faced a challenge like that. You just look at it in the face and you think, I don't think I can manage that. Every year in the summer, we go off to summer camp with a bunch of teenagers. And there's usually an afternoon where we would spend some time abseiling. Well, they would. I don't go. But they climb up to the top of a very old railway bridge. No trains, you'll be happy to know. And one by one, we drop them over the edge with nothing more than a rope and a safety harness and a crash helmet. But when they get to the top, when they look over the edge and look down and see how far it is, for some, it's really just too much. In their hearts, they really want to do it, but in their heads and senses, telling, I don't think I can manage that. Their first reaction is simply, can't do it. And so it was with God's people. As Moses sets before them a future going God's way, the only voice they can hear in their heads is the voice of failure, the voice of the past, the voice which says, can't do it. We'll never be able to do it. We'll never manage to be faithful. Going God's way seems too hard. Well, listen to Moses as he wants to encourage them in these things. Verse 11, he says, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, Moses is very insistent here. You know what you have to do. God has come close to you in his law. He's explained precisely how to live in a way which pleases him, and you need to set your hearts and your minds on this task. Well, as we go on in Bible history, the days of Moses, well, it becomes clear, actually, this generation, they may have started better than the previous, but they were probably right to be pessimistic. Living God's way was really hard for them, and it wasn't long until this generation fall into the same kind of sin as the one before. The grumbling and the disobedience as their parents before them. They might have started off with good intentions, but human hearts have always been inherently self-centered. And it's not long before they forget God and he moves away from the middle where he should be. And of course, our hearts are really no different to that. So what is the answer to this? If keeping the law is the test or the pass mark, that perfect obedience is the way to the best life, how on earth are we ever going to manage it? Or if you like, if they failed, won't we fail as well? Well, fast forward with me, if you will, a few thousand years to a baby born in a stable and to Jesus who walked on this earth and said he was God with us. As Moses explained to his people, God has come near you in his word in the law. Well, for us, God has come near us in the life of a man, his own son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus succeeded to live God's way where everyone before or since has failed to do so. Jesus lived in perfect obedience to God's law. He managed what no one else could manage. He showed us how to live, how to love God, and how to walk in his ways. Jesus became the one person who fulfilled what Moses was challenging that day. It is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Here was one who could manage that very thing. At the end of his life, Jesus died as a substitute for lawbreakers everywhere. Those who want to try but fail to live God's way. A little later on in the Bible, in the book of Romans, we read this verse. We read that Jesus Christ is the end of the law, so that everyone who believes may be made right with God. Jesus is the end of the law, so that everyone who believes may be made right with God. Jesus died on the cross to end that burden of the law, which we figure out we can't keep. That's how Jesus became the end of the law for those who follow him. If we believe in Jesus, then his death wins our forgiveness. He sets us free from the burden of the law to live as God's people. And so for us, the other side of the cross, the way to our best life, is living with Jesus in the middle. Back in their world, Moses sets out the options and he presses them for a final decision. Look with me at verse 19. Moses says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him." Well, here it is for us too, plain and simple. Now choose life. Choose to live your best life now by holding fast to Jesus. And grab hold of him, take hold of him, love him and walk in his ways. This really isn't too hard. It's not too difficult. It's not beyond our reach. At the back this morning, you'll find some of these little booklets. It's a little booklet that explains the Christian message in a few short pages with some pictures to help. It's called Two Ways to Live, The Choice We All Face. They'll be at the back this morning. Do just pick one up if that would be helpful. If you want to think a little bit more about these things, if you want to think about this choice, it explains how Jesus, through his death, offers us the gift of new life. When Jesus spoke to some of his friends, he said, "Come and follow me. Come and live this best life. Come and live with God right in the middle." Following Jesus, we get that best life now. And then we'll get it forever with God in heaven when we die. Jesus is the only answer to all of these things. God in the middle, setting our direction, defining our priorities. We want this for each other. We want this for our church family, for all of our kids and children. As we choose life for ourselves, So we want to choose life for all of our loved ones as well and help them follow this Jesus as well. So as we close this morning, what will you choose? Will you hear Moses this morning as he speaks to God's people? Will you choose God's way? Live that best life? Put God in the middle? Will you see the danger when God's not where he should be? And so will you hold fast to Jesus and live now and forever, every day following him, joyfully accepting the fresh start that he gives you? And take hold of Jesus through the cross. Now choose life, says Moses, so that you and your children may live. Let me pray for us as we think about these things. Our loving Father, thank you for Moses. Thank you for his very direct message, for the challenge at the end of this book, for all that we've learned through this series in Deuteronomy. And as we come to consider the challenge of choosing you and putting you first, pray that you'd work in us, in our hearts. Give us the desire to follow you in Jesus, to follow you today, to follow you every day, that we might live the best life that you've given us to live. And we pray all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.